Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed. You're listening to Andrew and the Drew Show.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Andrew. Thank you all so much for joining me this evening on this 6 o'clock Eastern time in Atlanta, Georgia. Another hot summer day. We've had a lot of temperatures in the 104s, and it's just been it's been a little miserable at times. Every time you walk outside, it's hard to breathe. But we're trying to make it the best we can. Thank you all again so much for joining me. Thank you all so much for joining us yesterday for Bobby. We had him on. Bobby is a singer and he recorded a song with Jesse and the Toy Boy. So check him out. And please check out our website as well, thedrewshow.com. We're doing some improvements on it. Probably within the next 2 weeks, there's going to be a completely new layout on it. We're doing some special things with it, so please stay tuned to that. We're going to have a contest section up on the site. Probably in about 2 weeks, we're going to be giving away some stuff, some items that our guests have very welcomely gave us to give away on the show. So we're really looking look forward to that. So please stay tuned for that to come. And like I said, about 2 weeks, I should say, maybe two and a half. But follow us on Twitter as well at Twitter Drew BTR. There you go. You know, we have such a great show for everyone today, and we've had this interview booked for over a month, and I could not wait for it to get here. I was so excited to have this lady on our show. Her name is Kay Wama. She has written a book called Cleaning House. It's a mom's 12-month experiment to rid her home of youth entitlement. She has five kids, and she went on this amazing journey, this amazing experiment to just what I said, rid her kids of entitlement. I am so pleased to welcome her to the show today, Miss Kay Wama. Hey, Kay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you so much for joining me. Such a pleasure to have you on.
Well, I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, as I understand it, you're in Dallas right now. So how is everything in Dallas and the weather and everything?
You know, it is so hard for me to even say that it is cooler here than it is there because, gosh, I don't know if y'all had the summer we did last year, but it started out in May over 100 and just kept right on going. But we have not had that this year, knock on wood.
Well, not yet, at least, I guess. I think,
yeah.
Isn't it August that's the hottest month of the year?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It usually starts right about now and just keeps going through September. But yeah. It's been good.
You know, I was looking at a weather map the other day, and just across the country, and I believe up in Seattle, it was 104 in Georgia, but up in Seattle, it was like 68. Horrible.
Yes, that's where we all should be right now.
Right, absolutely. Yes, like I said, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, and like I said before, I had this book for over a month, and I could not wait for you to come on because I was very intrigued when I heard about your book, Cleaning House, and how you started this. First of all, how did you decide to start this 12-month experiment?
You know, it was one of those things where I was driving carpool, as I often do, with as many kids as we have, and one of my children sitting shotgun next to me was looking at the cars around, and one of them, there was a Maserati, a Lexus, and a Porsche surrounding us, and he actually mused aloud, "I think I'd look good in that Porsche when I turned 16. And I looked at him thinking, what planet do you live on that you think you could drive a car like that when you're 16, let alone if you're 40 or 50? And he looked at me as if we were going to give that to him. And I was so appalled by it that by the time I got home, it didn't help that all the dishes were left out from breakfast and every bed was unmade and there was clutter all over the floor. And I really was just a frustrated mom. And all I can say is watch out when mom gets mad. The tide turned, needless to say.
The old saying goes, when mom isn't happy, nobody's happy, right?
No, nobody was happy. But at the end of the day, everybody really actually did end up being a lot happier, just, you know, down deep than what they were when we started. And, you know, I really did start it just because I was mad. And I'm not a real big believer in just padding your kids away, and I never had done that. And I didn't realize how much I was doing that until I started to stop. And I also didn't realize how much we rip from our kids' lives when we step in and do everything for them, because we want them to be independent, and we want them to be able to, you know, move out at some point and live successfully. And by success, it doesn't have to be financial success. I mean, it's just well-being. And right. When we do what society's doing right now by racing in to save and just to do everything for these kids, it's really a detriment to society, which is why we see all over the headlines these issues of American culture right now that are disturbing.
Right. I completely agree with you. I know years ago it was, you know, the kids are our future, and it's still the same thing. But as you see the world, it looks scary, like a more scarier place because of the things that's happening.
Well, it's changing. You know, just coming off the 4th of July, where we celebrate our independence, our founding fathers were people that came and were problem solvers. They saw an issue, and instead of, you know, cowering and letting it take over everything or turning to somebody else to solve the problems for them, they went out and met problems head on. And I guess the question we can ask ourselves is, what are we grooming this next generation to do and to be like? And, you know, there's 80 million kids in this Generation Y, which is what's, you know, in the workforce right now. And that's a significant portion of society. And new studies have just come out just stating that this group of kids and young adults really are more geared towards socialism than they are towards capitalism, which is where we sit going, is that really what we're going to choose? And if we are, we need to do it with our eyes open. But if we don't want to go down that road, it's not the hardest thing to change, because you can change it just even in your house.
Right, absolutely. And I think it's absolutely amazing what you've done. And this is more than – you did more than just what normal parents do by putting a list of chores for their kids to do while they're gone to work on the refrigerator to make sure this is done by the end of the day. How did you approach this whole thing to start it off with, I guess? And how did everyone respond to it, even your husband?
Well, you know, I started – thinking, just going through my mind of what are, you know, just to make it easy and make it a game, what are 12 things I wanted my kids to learn before they leave our house? And it started very low with just making their beds and picking up the clutter, which, you know, most families do that. And I think I did at one point, but somehow it got the best of me and I quit. And so we started low, and we are so not perfect at it. I mean, you could come in today and I guarantee you find an unmade bed in this house, but we started with that, and then I thought, gosh, they need to know how to cook, you know, really to cook and to go to the grocery store and shop and all these things that I had never done. It was so much easier for me to do it myself. I have plenty of kids at the age where I could either leave them at home or, you know, just run in quickly while they waited in the car so that I didn't have to bear with them even going through the grocery store with me, which is ridiculous because then they don't learn anything. And so it was really in that second month where I put dinner on their plates that I realized what I was doing. And when I saw my 8-year-old who whined and moaned the whole way to the grocery store, which is pretty much how they met every task, when he got home and he cleaned the kitchen and he cooked the meal and he set it down in front of everybody and he sat there so proud of himself, I, again, had no idea how I was ripping independence from him every time I do that. And he sat there having done something he never thought he could do, and quite frankly, none of his friends have to do. And it turned a huge mountain from some obstacle into an opportunity. And the next thing he's doing is looking for other things to do that he didn't think he could do. And that's been a very consistent thing throughout this whole process that's really surprising. But I guess it's just like with adults, as high as you set the bar is where they're going to go. So kids really do thrive on high expectations.
Right. And like I said, the things you've done has just absolutely been outstanding. And I know that millions of moms worldwide have fell in love with you because of what you've done. What would you say, and excuse me if you've already answered this, but what would you say is your main mission behind all this?
Well, to change the message, I think that society for years has been moving towards a child-centric approach to parenting, and it probably started in the late 1940s with a guy named Benjamin Spock. He was a doctor, a pediatrician, that wrote a book where he sold over 50 million copies, and it really changed the ideology behind parenting, which went towards a self-esteem approach where you make your child feel good. If they feel good, then they are good. And so it moved the pendulum from kind of a hard work mentality and independence towards your child needs to feel good about themselves. And that's where we have been sort of in that pot of murky, warm water, just kind of waiting around until it really has started boiling, because you throw in like existentialism, which is being centered on yourself, and the 1970s, it was all the free love and it's all about me, and you add in the 1980s and just the greed that started, and that's a lot of why we sit where we sit. And you'd like to blame somebody for it, but you can't, because it's just society and it's an ideology that really isn't true. That's the worst part about it, because when you start telling a kid, oh, you're so good, you're so wonderful, you do all these things so well, and they aren't doing anything, they know full right. well they didn't do it. And so you're telling them a message that isn't even true, and they're not dumb. They know. And so they get out in the real world, and they're surrounded by all these other perfect children, and nobody knows who they are. and they have trouble interacting and all these things that we don't want to happen for our child. And so they move back home with their parents, and the parents are sitting there going, you know, what do I do now? And they go out and try and find a job for their kid, and it just keeps going and going and going. And so we have just a huge lack of independence. And to me, the saddest part of all of that is that you've got these terrific kids who are so technologically advanced that if you put independence and if you quit those kids, that's where you just go, watch out, world, because you never know what will happen with that.
Right. And you brought up an interesting point about them moving back home and finding a job for them. I did read that most parents are actually putting in resumes for their children, and they're being involved in some type of way for salary negotiations for their children.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and that's a very loose word, children, for their own adult.
I guess it's because they've done it for so long, it's just nobody knows how to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's an interesting spot where we sit.
It is. Right now we're with the author of Cleaning House, Ms. Kay Wama. Kay, you know, one thing that me and my friends always discuss are, and one of my main friends, not main friends, that sounds bad, doesn't it? I'm sorry to everyone out there. One of my really good friends, his name is Ron, and me and him have this discussion a lot, that kids are awarded for everything now. For they participate in school and they can make all Fs, and they still receive some type of certificate at the end of the year. They play on a baseball team and they made no effort to play, and their team came in last place, and they still receive a trophy. And when they get older, my thing is, they're so used to, and even in classrooms, when they receive stars and they receive bonuses on the board and just different things, they're so used to receiving those things that they expect it when they get home, or they expect it in the real life.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know, again, it's very well intentioned. You know, it goes back to we don't want their feelings to be hurt. So you have the snarky kid on the soccer team that's going around kicking everybody, and he gets the most spirited award. And you know, the kids know. And that kid knows too. And so you're setting the bar and the level of expectation very low when we do that. And it's really the kids that are hurt. But to change it is scary, because who's going to do that? You know, and you've got schools, boy, you know, good luck finding a school that gives a kid an F. I think that's a very hard thing to even find these days, because they bend over backwards to find a way to pass them. And it's definitely setting these terrific kids up to not really be able to succeed. And it takes special kids these days to get above that. And it's a shame. It really is a shame.
It really is. Like I said, I completely agree with you again. And you just mentioned a moment ago about the 12 things that your kids should know. Can you share with us some more that the kids should know before actually leaving home and getting out there in the real world?
Well, for us, we added, you know, we did the bedrooms, the kitchen, we threw in laundry so they would know how to do that, you know, basic things around the house that actually are a part of life, and how to clean the bathroom, really clean it with Lysol. I threw in things that, like even how to host a party. I wanted them to know how to do that from the start to the finish, and we had a month of manners where they had to, you know, learn about manners, and we also had a month of service. And at the end of the day, when you step back and look at it, the most amazing part is that all of these things, all of the activities have somebody on the other side receiving it. And so you have every single month these kids learning how to get out of themselves, because when they had to do the laundry, each month they got to choose how they did the process so that they would actually own a part of it. And when we got to the laundry month, they decided that they would do their own laundry, which I had to stop, which I had to on many of them. I kind of had to back up and start over because it didn't work very well. And on the laundry one, when they did their own laundry, I had one kid wearing the same clothes every day, so he never had to do the laundry. And so that stopped. And so
right.
I know, it was terrible. So they ended up having to do everybody's laundry. And I tell you, there is a load of service coming in when you have to fold your sister's underwear or when you have to clean your brother's toilet. There's a lot of selflessness. And, you know, the key to it all is getting your eyes off of yourself. And And so you do have these tags that are put on this generation, like Gen Me or narcissist, and things that are really kind of serious. But gosh, if you get their eyes off of themselves genuinely, then it frees them up to be able to do so much more than they thought they could. And that was a nice thing that came along with all these little activities. I never meant to write a book about it. I was just, like I said, I was just a frustrated mother that journaled about it as we went along. And it was as much of an epiphany to me as it could be to anybody else, because we're right there walking the road with everyone else.
Right. And how did that happen? How did the book deal come along?
Well, I have a great group of women that I have walking alongside me that I call my ironing board, because I'm in the trenches. I really am, just like everybody else. You know, I've got tweens, teens, and adolescents, and a toddler. So I've got it all working in my home, and I've got every personality. And I know that it's helpful to have wisdom around you. And my neighbors, my elderly neighbors, don't live by me anymore. You know, they live in assisted care facilities. And my neighbors with kids our age, they're in their cars racing around from activity to activity. And so I called people that had walked the road and asked them, will you walk this with me? And they did. And one of the gals that speaks into my life often said, you know, this really needs to be a book. This needs to be more than just you journaling about it. And that started the ball rolling. And, boy, here I sit doing something I never meant to do. And
right.
And I do. I hope it encourages people. And I hope, you know, I put the good, the bad, and the ugly in it. So there are very funny moments, as you can imagine, with the crowd in our house. And so I hope people can laugh along and go, this is something that we can change too. And one thing that Chuck Colson always said when he was alive was that culture doesn't change people, but people change culture. And that's what we do, you know, one home at a time. We don't need to look to the government to change it for us, because we can do it in our home because we love our kids.
You know, and that's an excellent point. And one thing that it seems like everybody looks for the government to step in and do something, whether it's with parenting, or it's with obesity, or it's with anything out there. Everybody looks at the government instead of looking to say, what can I do to help change this?
Well, I think we want an easy way out. And again, you know, going back to this generation, they've been groomed to look for help, because that's what we're doing. Every time we step in and do their projects for them in school, or we arrange all these play dates, or make sure they get on the right team, or we fill out their college applications, or we do find jobs for them, we're grooming them to look to somebody else to help them with their problems, rather than teaching them and training them how to meet issues head on, because they can solve the problems. And again, that's the crazy thing about all these deals in your house. You know, who knew that cooking dinner could offer such great problem-solving opportunities? Or, you know, just even doing the laundry or doing the yard. You know, I'm horrible at so much of this stuff, and that's another thing. You don't have to be good at it to help someone or to train them to learn how to do it on their own. They might actually be better at it than you are. My girls are much better bakers than I am. They really are. It's phenomenal. Who knew?
Wow. Right. You know, one of the many things that I absolutely love about this book, Cleaning House, one of the many things that I love about this book, Cleaning House, at the end of each chapter, you list what your kids have learned and what you have learned learned from this whole experience. Can you share with us a few of those?
That was an interesting exercise, just to go, what have they learned and what have I learned? And, you know, even if I was looking just even at the meal one, you know, some of the things that they learned were just the simple things of how to navigate a grocery store and how much food costs. You know, watching that 9-year-old look at all the butters and wonder, you know, why one costs more than another. It was fascinating to sit there and go, well, because, and, you know, some are name brand, some aren't. Here's the differences, and to watch him even play a game to figure out the cheapest way to get out of the store. It was fun. And it made him own it. It was so great. And And then that the meals are more than just food put on the table. And for my boys, you know, they thought dishes were girls' work. Well, it's not. But for me, you know, even in that same task, I just, like, my well-meaning listens don't work just like I think they might, you know, that I might expect them to do. I would never have guessed that allowing one of my kids to purchase meals for the family would be self-defeating. And that was when I gave them the opportunity to do meals, I told them that if they didn't want to cook, they could buy the meals. And I watched one of my kids completely tank throughout the month because he was purchasing instead of making. And I would never have thought that. And so, again, as parents, I think we often have to back up and start over, you know. And it's okay if you mess up because you can just back up and start again. And so now that kid, he doesn't get to buy meals for anybody. He has to cook them just like everybody else because there's a load of just self-respect that comes from that. It was fascinating.
Wow. I absolutely love what you have done. Okay, I mean, it's just been, I said it 50 times in this show so far, but it's been amazing what you have done, and it's brilliant. And you should be so proud of yourself. You've just done something so awesome.
Well, I guarantee you, I'm the worst at it. I mean, anybody. I look at my sweet friends. There's so many people now that are doing this with their own kids, and I have a blog called The Moat Blog for Mothers of Adolescents and Teens, themoatblog.com, and people have been sending in pictures. I call it the Kid Can Do section, and even just the other day, a mom sent me a picture of her 10-year-old doing the laundry, and it was so cute. That child had, like, completely put herself in the washing machine trying to get something out. But to watch her and her cute little way that she was doing the laundry, it was so fun. And you know what happens on the other side? She feels great success at doing something she didn't think she could do. And then comes the part about work that we all know, that our kids need to know, that it isn't always glamorous and that it keeps going. You know, might always say, I just did the dishes yesterday. And I think, well, you probably did them this morning and you just forgot that part and you're going to do them tonight and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, because that's a part of work.
Right. You mentioned at the beginning of the show that that of course sometimes the occasional bed is still not made and
yes,
things like that. But but now that the experiment is over, have there been any responsibilities and behaviors that have stuck and or fallen by the wayside?
You know, it started out as an experiment, and it really is a life change. It is one of those things that I would never, ever go back, because it is so rich and full of exactly what I want my kids to learn in so many ways. That's the part that surprises me still to this day, at what you have in your home. That your home is like a test tube to society, you know? So the family responsibilities that are just everyday things that are living, you know, just together, they anchor a child, you know? It reinforces the truth that they belong, that they're needed, that they're a necessary cog. And when you've got that going on, and you've got kids that aren't looking to other things to fulfill them. And so my kid that wanted the Porsche, I haven't heard him talk about cars in over a year and a half. And I... You know, is it a coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. But could it be that he's not looking to other things to ground him? I hope so. I really do. Right there in your home, you've got this great stuff. And, you know, the other thing, it gets them out from behind a screen all the time. And it just teaches them such wonderful things about life so that they really are equipped to go out on their own.
Yeah, and I recommend to everyone to pick up this book, Cleaning House. You know, it is an amazing book, and I know that everyone will enjoy it. You know, Kay, for the parents who are feeling overwhelmed, how would you counsel them, or how can they get started just from scratch, just from start?
Boy, I hear you on that, because again, you know, our house is so full of so many kids, and I get the overwhelmed part. I really do. I live it. And so I would say, just like for me, you know, any time is a good time to start. And nobody's messing up. It's one of those things, you just start it. And you kind of have to go beyond the whining. And, I'm lucky to have a young child still. And there are often times when he was a toddler that I'd look at my teen and I would think, it's the same thing. You know, these toddlers throw tantrums, so is the teen. I've just got words coming at me with one of them and just screams from the other. But when they did that when they were toddlers, I ignored it. And so there's a lot of Teflon going on here where you just have to ignore the whining and look beyond to the other side, because the whining doesn't last very long. Even my ones that still will actually say something like, I don't know how to do it, when I know they know how to do it and they know they know how to do it. And yet I have to ignore that, and it doesn't take very long before they kick in and they do a great job. And then almost every time they're looking for something else to do on the other side. And so there's great encouragement that comes in, even in the short run.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And, you know, what I didn't mention at the beginning of the show, a little bit about your past. You actually, and I should have mentioned this, because when I saw this, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, that you actually worked in the White House with Vice President Al Gore and his wife, right?
Actually, it was with Dan and Marilyn Quayle. We were the ones before the wars. Yes, but the same, you know, we shared, there was definitely a sharing of Secret Service detail there during the election, so it was fun to see each other on the road.
Right.
But, yeah, I did. I got to have some experience in a different house for a few years.
Well, that must have been an amazing experience. Did you learn a lot about yourself doing that and I don't know, having that kind of experience, I guess?
You know, it was terrific. It hit home what a great country we live in. When you work for the vice president, you get to travel all over the world. And it is, I think sometimes we forget about how amazing this country is and what it was founded on, and that people look at it and long for it, because it is one of the few places still left on earth where you can go and dream and see your dreams fulfilled. And so, it was wonderful. And so much of it was being able to just to go to other places and serve and help, which is what our country does. And what a great thing to continue to teach our kids, that life isn't just here to serve us. It's a whole load of serving other people.
All right. Wow. Please, Kay, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you on. And before I let you go, please let everyone know where they can pick up a copy of your book and how they can connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere else.
Well, I am 47, so I am technologically challenged for sure. But I am, you can look at the moatblog.com, M-O-A-T, blog.com, for Mothers of Adolescents and Teens. And the book Cleaning House is in most bookstores and, you know, online, very easy at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And anyway, I hope that it's something that they would enjoy, and just hope it would inspire all of us just to love our children well. And you were so nice, Drew, to have me on. I really appreciate it.
We really appreciate you. And just to let everyone know that you're nice enough to send us a copy of your book so we can give away on our show.
You bet.
So,
That's
awesome. And like I said, in about 2 weeks, everyone can check out our website and learn how to get a copy of that book. Mrs. Kay Wama, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and I hope that we all have a nice, cool ending to our summer.
I hope so, too. Well, thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Miss Kay Wama. Please check out her book, Cleaning House. You can find it on Amazon.com. Like I said, please check out our website, thedrewshow.com. In about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're going to have a brand new website. We're going to have some things up to date. So the contest section will be a lot easier for me to control and everything else. And it'll be a lot easier for you to find as well. But thank you all so much again for checking us out. Please find us as well on Twitter, of course, at DrewBTR, as well as Facebook, /WAEJ, The Drew Show. As always, I recommend everyone to check out Chris Woodson's new album at ChrisWoodsonMusic.com. You can also find him on Facebook at Facebook.com/ChrisWoodsonMusic. So check that out today. I know you'll really enjoy that a lot. From The Drew Show, this is Andrew. Good night, everyone. Have a great weekend.